Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Father Tom Burke of the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh, and welcome to Catholic Education Plus on KDK Radio. This show spotlights the important work of Catholic education in our Catholic schools and parish faith formation programs. Catholic Education Plus is brought to you by the generous supporters of Catholic education, including Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh in southwestern Pennsylvania.
This morning we are discussing parish mission trips, and this morning we have Sue Ferguson and Elizabeth Collins. Across the Diocese of Pittsburgh, many parishes organize mission trips as part of the gospel call to help those in need, including the poor and the less fortunate. And for nearly two decades, St. Mary the Assumption Parish in Glenshaw has sponsored a large group of volunteers who spend a week in Appalachia helping to rebuild homes and communities. And they also team up with St. Simon of Jude Parish in Greentree. And this morning we are joined by Sue Ferguson, who has been involved with St. Mary's mission trips for over a decade and has served as the coordinator since 2012. And with her this morning is Elizabeth Collins, who is a college junior at University of Dayton. And she's also a young adult leader who began going on mission trips as a teenager. Sue and Elizabeth, welcome this morning to Catholic Education Plus.
Thank you for having us.
And I'm really interested in hearing about your parish mission trip. And you just went a few weeks ago in June. And Sue, this past June, just a few weeks ago, your group returned to Webster Springs, West Virginia. And this is a rural town of less than 1,000 people where jobs in the coal and timber are hard to find. Nearly one-third of the population lives below the poverty line. And over the last seven summers, you've formed a special bond with the families of Webster Springs. Can you tell us this morning about how many volunteers take part in your mission trip and the kinds of projects that you work on?
So each year, we take a team of 115 to 120 people. This year, it was 66 high school teens, about 16 college leaders, and the rest were adults, either foremen, part of the meal team, part of the logistics team. And the type of projects that we do range from building decks for handicapped people. We work on roofs. A lot of the floors in the homes there, because of the severe weather, get soggy and start to get holes in, so we'll do that. We'll insulate homes. We've built, each year that we go, one to three additions on certain homes to provide more bedrooms for the families. So it's a wide array of things that we do.
And where actually is Webster Springs located in West Virginia? Is it towards the middle or the bottom of the state? Is it near Charleston or north?
So
or?
If you drive 3 hours south on 79 and kind of go about an hour in through mountainous roads.
So it's kind of like in the middle.
I would say the middle, yes.
So to speak, yeah. That's not really that far away from Pittsburgh.
No, and it's a beautiful town. Mm. It's just, I mean, you could see this beautiful resort being there. That's how pretty it is. But it's just in the midst of so much poverty.
And Elizabeth, you've gone on 5 mission trips down to Webster Springs. What made you want to go for the first time several years ago and then to go back again and again?
Yeah. So Father Jay Donahue, prior to him moving to St. Simon and Jude, he was the priest at St. Mary's. And he really just like got the youth involved. He was just really awesome about that. And also my friends who are in upperclassmen before said, oh, you should really try and go on it. And I was like, okay. I didn't really know what to expect. And going into it, I was very shy. But then coming out of the week, I really just broke open, got out of my shell. And that's kind of what made me want to keep coming back, forming those genuine relationships with not only the people from my parish, but also the people in Webster Springs.
And to go back 5 times, was it different each year? Obviously, the students and the adults might be different, but what was it like to go back the second, the third, or fourth?
Each Appalachia experience is never the same. Mm-hmm. That's what I've learned. But yeah, you have different families you're helping, and you get to kind of form those relationships. But then also, you get to, as you grow older, you get to step up into more of a leadership role and grow in those leadership skills too, and kind of be a little bit more open to your faith and be able to kind of share your faith with the younger high schoolers coming up.
So you have over 100 people that go. That's a big group task to get everybody in order. And then what would you go for, like a week, like a Sunday to Saturday type thing? Or what type of during the week would you stay?
Yeah, so we leave Sunday morning, mm-hmm. and then we come back the following Saturday.
Sunday to Saturday. Okay. So it's like a summer camp, but a little different ball game, right?
Yeah, little different. The best part about it is, as high schoolers, you have to give up your phone for a week, which it's challenging at first, but it's definitely the best part because you have no distractions and you can be like completely yourself and really immerse yourself in the experience.
Now, Sue, when the group gets down there, and then how do you determine what groups, I guess they get divided up into service projects? How do you determine, or do the adults determine who goes where, or how does that work?
So a group of us go down in April, and we look at potential projects.
Okay.
And we are very fortunate that we have a skilled group of foremen that go down every year, and they continue to go back. So we know what their skill levels are, and we choose the projects based on those skill levels. And then what we do before we go down, we divide the groups into work sites. And what we try to do is split up friends so that it is an easier way for the teams to bond right off the bat. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, no little
clicks,
exactly,
so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And really, the young adult leader, which Elizabeth has been the past 2 years, is the bridge between the foreman, who's really concentrating on the work site and what needs to be done. And that's difficult because nothing is ever square down there. And, I mean, there's just problems that arise from a construction standpoint during the week. And so the young adult leader tries to keep the kids busy if there's downtime, but also just tries to be that liaison so that the foreman can get their job done and the teens stay engaged.
What's it like, Elizabeth, with the interacting with the families that you're helping? And probably they have children too. And it must be like you're going into a different world, but they're kids like you guys, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Definitely the relationship aspect is my favorite part of Appalachia. My first year, I had a single mom with 3 boys.
Wow.
And 3 rambunctious boys. I don't know how she did it, but it was just great kind of talking with them a little bit and like see how grateful they were, and also like see them open up to us as well, because at the beginning of the week they were definitely more shy. And then this past year, I had Dennis and Dee, who both went through different surgeries, so they couldn't get around. But like we just went inside their house and we could talk to them about anything, and they were just so grateful. So it's a cool kind of dynamic we have with the families down there.
You're going into these people's homes, and do some of them work with the help out, or do they kind of vacate the house when the group comes in?
Depending on what your site's doing, yeah, some will help. I know this past year, one of their nephews came and helped us like cut wood, and just having that extra set of hands really helped a lot. So, and they just wanted to get it
as involved as we were.
And then after you're done working, there's potential for Mass and reconciliation, adoration. You want to talk about how that format is?
Yeah. So during the week, we have Mass at each of our sites once during the week. And that's really nice to also get the families to come and kind of be exposed to what we're doing every day. And it was also neat after Mass this week, the family we were helping actually ended up giving us a blessing.
Wow.
So that was really special because I never experienced something like that just because of how grateful they were. So it was really special. But then halfway during the week, Wednesday evening, we have adoration and confession. And that's just our time to really reflect on the week for about 3 hours. And adoration's where like the Eucharist is fully exposed. Mm-hmm. And that was during my first mission trip, that was where everything clicked. So it was cool to be a young adult leader now and have one of my high schoolers have that same experience of just overwhelming sense of emotion. And like I started crying just because of how happy I felt for her because she finally got it. And it was just, it was a really cool experience.
And for those listening this morning who are non-Catholic, could you just explain in a layman terms what Eucharistic adoration is and what happens during that time?
Yeah, so the Eucharist is fully exposed in the sanctuary and it's just quiet time. There's a little bit guitar playing, and it's just
prayer. Like a meditation.
Yeah, meditation, prayer, reflection, and just your time alone with God.
And we put the Eucharist out in a monstrance, which is a holder for the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. It's up on a table or an altar, and then it's a nice meditation time, and people pray privately, and there might be some music in the background, and then it's that time just to sit and reflect and take a time out and just to listen, just to stop and to slow down. And it's very powerful to have the Eucharist. As a Catholic, we believe that's the body of Christ, and Christ is truly present in that Eucharist and kind of nourishes you physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And after a hard day's work, it's nice to have that time out, right?
Yes, definitely.
And if you drift off to sleep or take a nap, it's okay too, right?
Yeah.
And Sue, Webster Springs was hit by storms and flash floods 2 summers ago. And they're still recovering down there too, isn't that correct?
Yes. It was, first of all, just a crazy experience seeing the waters rise so rapidly. And it was very difficult for us because we needed to get out of Webster Springs for our safety, yet we felt like we were abandoning our friends there. But we did not want to have to be hindering emergency and rescue. But what was really beautiful was to see how our teams bonded. We had to move from one of the churches we were staying in to another. The boys helped the girls carry their things.
Wow.
It just was, it was amazing how responsive our kids were.
But what a remarkable experience to be living in that. Well, we'll be taking a break right now, and I want to thank Sue and Elizabeth for being with us this first half, and we'll finish up back with more in a moment. Welcome back to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, administrator of St. Bede Parish in Point Breeze, and this morning we are talking about parish mission trips. And we have Sue Ferguson and Elizabeth Collins from St. Mary the Assumption Parish in Glenshaw talking about their experience. Every year they go down to Webster Springs, West Virginia, which is about 3 hours south of Pittsburgh. And Sue, we were just talking right before the break that Webster Springs was hit by flash floods just 2 years ago, 2016. I remember seeing that in the news. And the area is still recovering. You want to continue on what you were talking about? You guys went down there during the flooding and had to help with the recovery and cleanup efforts too, right?
Right. So the flooding happened, the worst part of it, Wednesday night into Thursday.
Wow.
And we lost power. Then we lost cell phone coverage. So it was only at the last 2 minutes I was able to read an email over a landline to one of the parents in Pittsburgh so she could get the information out to our parents.
Wow.
What was going on. We weren't even aware of the news coverage, how crazy it was all over West Virginia. So for our parents back in Pittsburgh, it was kind of scary. For our kids, they just lived in the moment. And on Thursday and Friday helped. There was just so much mud, you can imagine, kind of having that go on here in Pittsburgh as well. But they just stepped up to the plate and did whatever was asked. They were covered in mud, but they did whatever was asked of them.
And you're right, it's been a really rainy summer for us here locally in Pittsburgh, and a lot of flooding and mudslides throughout western Pennsylvania. And we're in the middle of the summer with that. And Elizabeth, you had to evacuate during that week too, right?
Yes, we did.
And then a year later, you held a fundraiser for the families. You want to tell our listeners about that? That's awesome.
Yeah, so it was actually a few weeks that's after we got after back in the summer. And since we had to leave early, we really wanted to give back since we couldn't finish our projects.
Sure.
So we decided to do a fundraiser, just talking to our parishes, kind of making them aware of what the situation was. But our biggest fundraiser was holding a car wash, and we got close to $40,000 raised.
Wow.
So it was a really cool...
That's a lot of car washes.
Yeah, atmosphere to see our community here help the community we formed in West Virginia. So.
And that was 2 years ago,
yes.
Right? And are there still signs of damage and flooding after that? Like, have the people recovered, or are they still continuing to recovering from that?
They're still continuing to recover. There's a few locations in the mountains, because it's in a valley that even a little bit of flooding can do a lot of damage. So, some of our sites the following year went back. It was to those houses with flood damage.
Wow. So every year you plan this mission trip around a theme. What was this summer's theme back in June?
So this summer was Be the Authentic You, and our theme song was Hello, My Name Is by Matthew West, which has some really cool lyrics for teens to kind of relate to.
How do you come up with these themes? Do you ask the youth for any input, or?
Our young adult leaders come up with a theme. They come up with the spiritual activities in the evening. We had a conference call going from about mid-March to mid-May every Monday evening, and it was amazing their dedication. Even some kids that were not coming on the trip this year who participated in the conference calls just to get ideas across. We have young adults who are out in the working world now but are helping with the youth groups in their parishes. One in Phoenix who...
Wow.
On these Monday night calls, it was just so beautiful getting the ideas from really all across the country of how we can
take
help
this
our
nationwide.
Youth.
Nationwide, yeah, definitely. Now, Elizabeth, we talked a little bit about this earlier, about your experience in going back after the 5 years. How does helping these families help you understand to live out your Catholic faith now that you are in your college years at University of Dayton?
Yeah, from that first year experience, I really found what it meant to put your faith in action, because every day at Mass we're told, go spread the good news. And I had, I went to Mass, and afterwards I didn't really live out my faith. But then I finally kind of understood what that was, and to use the gifts and talents like God gave me to help others. So I do that right now in University of Dayton by getting involved in other service organizations with St. Vincent de Paul, Healing Hearts, just because of how powerful Appalachia was for me of serving those who can't really help themselves and need that extra help.
So you feel by going on these mission trips as a high school student, and you've learned and grown every summer, gotten a lot out of it, plus living through that evacuation and flooding, now in your college years, you take that with you and you can share that with your friends and classmates too.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. It's my favorite thing to talk about whenever I go back to school, what I did in the summer.
That's really cool.
Appalachia. So.
Now, Sue, how do you stay connected with some of the families throughout the year?
Well, we have a really great relationship with the pastor of a Methodist church and his family. So through them, we find out about some of the families that we've helped. If they have a crisis, Pastor Brandon will call me or call somebody else on our team. And we're able then to maybe help them periodically throughout the year, more in a monetary sense, but by sending them cards. I know a lot of the kids keep in touch with some of the families by Facebook, social media.
Social media, sure. So it's very ecumenical. It's not just you're around Catholics, and I'm sure down in West Virginia there'll be the population would be more non-Catholics that you're ministering to, but we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord.
And I think that that's it's a really neat lesson for our team of people that go down there, mm-hmm. as well as it's bridging a gap for maybe some things that are biases that people might have who are other denominations about Catholics. When they come to our Mass on our sites, they're like, oh, wow, this is great. And so I think that we're really changing on both sides, sure. how we view each other.
Break down some barriers. Yeah. And how about you, Elizabeth?
I agree. I think it's kind of interesting to see that we come from very two different backgrounds, but we all share like a common thing of being human, and we all just want love from each other. So just as much as we're helping those families, they are also helping us tremendously. And that's the cool dynamic of how we're all in community with each other.
So. And it's nice that you still stay in touch. It's not just, we come down for a week and then see you next year. And I'm sure the kids can stay in touch with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, social media, and then the adults can do so also. And the friendships form, especially going down all these years. That's you probably, your family grows, your circle of friends grow after that. And Susan, if somebody is thinking about a parish mission trip or a church youth group together, what some quick advice would you give a group or a youth group?
Well, first thing I would do is pray, mm-hmm. And you know, just ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a place that you can go that's doable. You don't have to take 120 people the first year you go. You can take a group of 20, 30, and we learn something every time we go down. And I think that just jump into it, and God will be with you.
Elizabeth?
To the young adults and high schoolers, I would definitely say step outside of your comfort zone. Don't be afraid to make new friendships because it's really special, both with the families you're helping and the community you're going with from home.
And personally, for me, I think parish mission trips are wonderful. And I, as a seminarian almost 20 years ago, when I was a student at Duquesne University, going down to Kentucky during the Thanksgiving break and then down to Immokalee, Florida for an alternate spring break and doing mission work down there with the orange growers, that really opened up my eyes as a young seminarian. And I still, to that, this day, vividly remember going down to Kentucky and Florida during that time, and the seminarians and the college students that were there was great. So Elizabeth and Susan, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This week in our Plus segment, we are featuring the Farmers Market at St. James in Sewickley, and it's held every Saturday morning at St. James Parish in Sewickley. It's located at 200 Walnut Street, right off of Route 65 in Sewickley, right near the Sewickley Bridge, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Saturday in the parking lot. This isn't your normal just vegetables and fruit. There is wonderful jellies, salmon, fish, flowers, anything that you can imagine. It's just a beautiful local farmers market every Saturday, 9 to 1, St. James Parish in Sewickley. And they go all the way up until November. And Deacon Bob Jancart is the coordinator for this. So if you'd like to check it out next Saturday, I highly recommend it. Every week, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., St. James in Sewickley, located right off of Route 65 in Sewickley, right off of Walnut Street, 200 Walnut Street. More information, you can call Deacon Jancart at 412-262-4839. That's the Farmers Market at St. James in Sewickley every Saturday, 9 to 1. Thank you for listening to Catholic Education Plus, and thanks again to our supporters, including Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. I'm Father Tom Burke. Join us again in 2 weeks at 6:30 right here on KDKA Radio.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.